Welcome back into the Nick Bob Podcast. I am taping this. It is Sunday morning, June 25th, and I have not one but two college football preview magazines in my hands. And so it's just easy to start diving into that and getting excited about the college football season that is just around the corner. I mean, Big Ten Media Days is just a couple of weeks away. Camp is just a little over a month away. But the big thing with these college football preview magazines for me is they are a great resource for me to do these exercises that I do every single year, and one of which is what today's pod is, where I rank Nebraska's schedule from easiest to hardest opponent. So from easiest game to hardest game. It's something I've done for a long time. It's like a therapy session for me. It's a good way to examine the totality of the schedule. And I always tell people, sometimes when you do this, you finish and you kind of go, man, this schedule is more manageable than I thought. Or sometimes it's like, damn, this schedule is brutal. For example, like when I do this in 2025 with the new schedule where Nebraska is going to play Michigan, Ohio State, USC, UCLA, like they're going to play all those teams. It's going to be, I mean, like the fourth toughest game is like, I think at USC, you know, it's just going to be crazy how difficult it is when I do that. But so I really enjoy doing this. It's also a little checkpoint for me to know that the season is getting closer, which is always exciting. So let me preface everything with this before we get into the rankings. I fully realize when you're a program that hasn't had, that has had six straight losing seasons and hasn't been to a bowl game since 2016, that calling any game or any opponent easy is somewhat silly and going to get met with an eyebrow raise and a, you know, what's up with this guy? Like, I get it, right? I get that. But we all know what we're doing here, right? Like, my terming and labeling something as quote-unquote easy is less to do with Nebraska and more relative to the other opponents on the schedule and just how good, flat out good, that football team is that Nebraska is going to be playing. Like, how does this team line up against the other 11 teams on Nebraska's schedule? And then just how good is this opponent, period? How good are they? How good's the quarterback? How good's the coach? How good's the D-line? How good's their skill positions? All those things. So just keep that in mind as I'm doing this, because like, oh my God, listen to this guy talk about Nebraska. He says this game's easy. Well, easy is a relative term, and I'm fully aware that Nebraska has been on the struggle bus in big, big fashion for the last 6 years. I get it. Okay. The other thing to consider when you're doing this is, you know, there's lots to consider with it. When does the game happen? Maybe is it earlier in the year? Is it late in the year? Maybe weather, depending on when it's happening, is going to play a factor. Like all those kinds of things. Who did they play before? What's the bye week? All those kinds of things you have to take into consideration. So, okay, let's do it. Here it is. Ranking Nebraska's schedule from easiest to hardest. Here we go. At number 12, easiest game, I have Louisiana Tech. Saturday, September 23rd. At Memorial Stadium, Lincoln, Nebraska. It's going to be the fourth game of the year, so Nebraska will have three games under its belt. They'll have two roadies at Minnesota and at Colorado, plus their home opener the week before against Northern Illinois prior to this game as well. So Nebraska should be improved by this point. Louisiana Tech, they went 3-9 last year. They went 2-9 against FBS opponents, and they lost by 20 points or more five times. Their head coach, Sonny Cumbie, he made his head coaching debut last year. So this is just his second year as a head coach. So he's young, and they struggled last year. Plus, they're going to be breaking in a new quarterback. Then they got a Boise State guy coming to town, but he's a new quarterback. ESPN FPI, their football power index, gives Nebraska an 84% chance of winning this game. I think this will be the easiest game on Nebraska's schedule. I got Louisiana Tech. Second easiest game on the schedule, Northern Illinois. Saturday, September 16th, 6 p.m., night game, FS1, Nebraska's home opener after starting the first two games on the road. So this will be the very first home game in the Matt Rhule era. Like, really envision yourself sitting in Memorial Stadium, that tunnel walk hits, and for the very first time in a real game, Matt Rhule is going to lead his team onto the field, right? I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about it. The atmosphere is going to be really good. Northern Illinois went 3-9 last year. They do return their senior starting quarterback and six starters on both sides of the ball, including a lot in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So they got a little something to work with, but still should be a pretty easy game for Nebraska. So I got Northern Illinois as the second easiest game on the schedule. Next easiest game, third easiest game on the schedule. I struggled to put with where to put this game, but I'm going with at Colorado. Now, what's weird is, as a Nebraskan, a Lincolnite, a guy that grew up where Oklahoma really wasn't the rival for people of my age, it was Colorado, right? And Colorado was good. So saying playing Colorado in week two on the road, putting that as the third easiest game in the schedule, feels weird and wrong. But when you strip away the old rival emotions of Colorado and what that typically drums up emotionally, and then strip away the shine and excitement of Deion Sanders, Coach Prime on the sidelines, here is the reality. Colorado was awful last year. Probably the worst Power 5 team in the country, and one of the worst FBS teams in the country, period. Colorado was 1-11 last year. Their scoring defense was dead last in the country. 44.5 points per game given up. 44 points per game. And their offense was atrocious too. They weren't even competitive in almost every single game. So you take that and then add to it the fact that it's a complete roster overhaul where Coach Prime has run off almost everybody in the roster. They've lost over 50 players to the transfer portal. And because of that, some have questioned if they're going to even be able to field enough players to have enough bodies to have like real depth for a full season of the grind with practice and all that stuff. And Colorado hasn't necessarily just killed it in bringing in top shelf transfer portal guys either. So yes, everyone is excited about Deion Sanders and all that. I get it. But lost in all that excitement is that this situation is not a very pretty one. So let me just, I told you I had these preview magazines. I got Athlon's preview magazine, College Football Preview Magazine in front of me. Let me just read this to you. This is a quote about Coach Prime and Colorado from an opposing Pac-12 coach. I'm just going to read this to you. Quote, "It feels like a lose-lose for Colorado and Prime. Either he's going to be really good, really fast, and leave for another gig, which, looking at that roster, doesn't seem possible. The alternative is that they're going to be bad and they'll end up firing him in a big circus. It's hard to tell. It's hard to separate the hype from reality. They're in on the portal, but they're also preaching this old school, working hard to earn everything mentality on their roster. Their offensive coordinator, Sean Lewis, is a fantastic offensive coach, and they can be really good. Jackson State was so good because they could get FBS level guys and beat on FCS rosters. That won't happen here. They're not a good roster right now. How does he handle losing big? We haven't seen that." That's an opposing Pac-12 coach kind of sizing up Deion Sanders, Colorado. Fairly bleak picture to read there. And I've hit on that. Like, I wonder how Deion Sanders is going to handle struggling. Like, the whole Coach Prime persona and all that stuff, it works because he's been a winner. What happens when they get their doors blown off and they only win three games, four games, two games? What happens? Because it's an interesting point. He said Jackson State was good because they could get FBS-level guys and beat on FCS rosters. That won't happen here. So, again, fairly bleak picture that that coach painted right there. And I think he's kind of right. So I say all that to say, yes, this game will be emotional. It will be a it's a big noon kickoff game, so it's going to be a big stage. And yes, it's only the second game of the Matt Rhule era, who also doesn't necessarily inherit a great situation either. But I think this game on paper, once this game is kicked off and there are 11 Buffs hitting 11 Huskers, I think Nebraska has the better team and the more experienced head coach. I don't think this game will necessarily be a cakewalk by any stretch. I don't want to necessarily paint that. Could Nebraska lose this game? Oh, absolutely. Nebraska at this point can lose any game. But when pitted against the other opponents on the schedule, I think this is where this game belongs on the rankings of the of easiest to hardest. I think it's fair. I got it as the third easiest game on the schedule. By the way, ESPN's FPI gives Nebraska a 71% chance of winning this game. Nebraska is favored by a little more than a touchdown in this game already in early Vegas lines. So I got it as Nebraska's third easiest game on the road at Colorado. Kind of weird to say, but that's just how it is. Fourth easiest game on the schedule. Saturday, October 21st at home, I got Northwestern coming to Lincoln, Nebraska. It's the seventh game of the season for Nebraska. They will have six games under their belt. Nebraska's going to be coming off a bye week, which usually matters. Now, to be fair, Northwestern is also coming off a bye week as well. But with Northwestern, amazingly enough, Northwestern's only win last year was against Nebraska in Dublin. I know. Amazing to say out loud. Sobering to say out loud. Northwestern was 1-11, and their lone win was against Nebraska. But I say that to say Northwestern was bad last year, and they've been really bad here for 2 years in a row. Northwestern, they're 4-20 in their last two seasons. 4-20. And offensively is where a lot of their issues lied last year. Northwestern had the worst scoring offense in Power 5. They averaged 13 points per game. 13 points per game. I think they're a program that is probably struggling right now in this new transfer portal NIL world. But all I know is this. This team has been bad for 2 years, but that doesn't really deter my level of respect for Pat Fitzgerald. I think the world of that guy, I think he's a really good coach. I think he's just has hit a rough patch here. But they've done this. Like, there's been years where Northwestern, they're kind of the roller coaster program. They'll have like these down years, and then all of a sudden they'll have a great year. So I wouldn't count out a bounce back year, but on paper, it doesn't look likely for Northwestern. They got a lot to tighten up. And with Nebraska being at home, having six games already under its belt, I like it lines up pretty nicely, in my opinion, for Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska blasted Northwestern 2 years ago, should have beaten Northwestern last year in Dublin if there wasn't that idiotic onside kick and everything that ensued after that. This is one of Nebraska's got the better roster here. ESPN FPI gives Nebraska a 68% chance to win this game, which is, by the way, the highest percentage chance of any Big Ten opponent on Nebraska's schedule in terms of winning, just as a frame of reference. Not that ESPN's FPI is gospel, but it's a good food for thought reference point. So I got Northwestern at home coming off the bye week in Lincoln as the fourth easiest game on the schedule. Fifth easiest game on the schedule. Saturday, October 28th in Lincoln, Nebraska, the Purdue Boilermakers are going to come to Memorial Stadium. Game number 8 for Nebraska. Purdue had a good year last season. They won the Big Ten West. They lost to Michigan in the Big Ten title game, but they lost their head coach. Jeff Brohm went back home to Louisville, and they lost their starting quarterback, who had a very good year, in Aiden O'Connell. I do like who Purdue hired as their head coach in Illinois' defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters, but he's young, and this is his head coaching debut. So naturally, there will be some growing pains. There's a big difference between sitting in the defensive coordinator chair and sitting in the head coaching chair. But I think eventually he'll be good. You remember last year's game at Purdue? That was the Trey Palmer game where he just went off. What, he had like almost 300 yards receiving? I mean, it was unbelievable. It was on the short list of best single wide receiver performances and best Husker individual performances over the last 20 years I can remember. Nebraska nearly won on the road. Obviously, with this game, you got two new head coaches, Rule and Ryan Walters, so that makes it kind of hard to size up. But Purdue's going to be replacing Aiden O'Connell and their stud wide receiver, Charlie Jones. Got Hudson Card. He's a Texas transfer. He's going to come in and be the quarterback, and he kind of fits that style that Purdue's trying to run now with their new offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell, who's going to run the air raid. Now, I think Tony White's 3-3-5 matches up with an air raid pretty good. So I think Nebraska's got a good shot at winning this game, but this game, there's a lot of unknowns on both sides of the ball. Two new head coaches, you got two new quarterbacks, hard one to size up. But Nebraska's at home. ESPN's FPI gives Nebraska a 51% chance of winning this game. I'll peg it as the fifth easiest game on the schedule. Sixth easiest game. Saturday, November 11th, Memorial Stadium, Lincoln, Nebraska, Maryland comes to town. This is another game that's somewhat hard to size up because Nebraska has not played Maryland a ton since joining the Big Ten. They only played them, what, three, four times? Maryland, to me, is always a team that's, in my opinion, had moments where they're sneaky better than you think they are. I mean, the reality is in the East Division, Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, they cast such big, big shadows that sometimes these other teams that are better than you think maybe get swallowed up by it. But the Terps had a pretty good season last year. They went 8-5 and beat NC State in a bowl game. And what makes this game really difficult for Nebraska is the fact that Maryland brings back Tua's brother at quarterback. Tagovailoa is a really good player at QB. He's already a 3-year starter. And last year, Tagovailoa threw for 3,860 yards and 26 touchdowns and completed 69% of his passes. Like, you could make a case that he'll be the best quarterback Nebraska sees next year. So this game is far from easy. It's a coin flip at best. That's where the FPI, ESPN's FPI puts it. They put it as a 51% chance Nebraska wins. I mean, it's a coin flip. Tagovailoa is going to test Nebraska's secondary big time. Nebraska being at home is an important factor for where I ended up slotting this one. I think Maryland's maybe a little bit better than some of the other teams on the schedule that I maybe have them as ahead of. But Nebraska's at home. Later in the year, you assume Nebraska's going to be a better version of themselves on November 11th than they are in mid-September. So I got Maryland at home as the... I'll switch how I'm saying it now. The seventh toughest game on the schedule. Sixth toughest game on the schedule. Saturday, November 4th, in East Lansing at Michigan State. Sixth toughest game on the schedule, in my opinion. Michigan State, they've been a little up and down as well so far under Mel Tucker. Last year, the Spartans went 5-7. They lost their starting quarterback, Peyton Thorne, to the transfer portal. So they got some question marks. But with Michigan State, they're another team you just kind of never know. With, like, I thought this opposing Big Ten coach put it best in Athlon's preview magazine, saying this about Michigan State. He said, quote, "They're the 50-50 program in the league. You never know what you're going to get when they actually line up against you. They're talented enough to beat most teams, and then sometimes they can't put anything together. In the Big Ten, they're our Ole Miss." I think that's perfectly stated. I didn't think about the Ole Miss comp is kind of a good one. Where, you know, you turn on a Saturday SEC game, Ole Miss could, like, kind of be looking terrible, and then Ole Miss might be giving, like, Georgia a run, Bama a run. But Michigan State, when it's right, looks like they can give Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State all they can handle. But when it's off, they can lose to Indiana like they did last year and get smashed by Minnesota like they did last year. So this one's kind of hard to size up. I mean, you think about Nebraska and Michigan State since Nebraska's joined the league. Nebraska's had a lot of success against Michigan State. Now, I will say 2 years ago was the Cerny punt debacle that blew the game for Nebraska at Michigan State. Nebraska completely dominated the Spartans, in particular on defense in the second half, stuffing the run. And then one errant punt, needed to punt it right. Cerny shanks it left, and it flips the entire game. You guys know what happens. Nebraska loses. But Nebraska should have won that game. You think about the fact that in 2015, Riley's first year, Nebraska beat Michigan State in Lincoln, and that Michigan State team made the college football playoff. So Nebraska's played Sparty pretty well in the Big Ten, but with this game, I'm not sure what to expect. The road factor here plays a role for me in how I slotted this. Even though Spartan Stadium isn't a hornet's nest, it's still a road Big Ten game. And Mel Tucker can coach. Michigan State, typically, they got some talent. This is going to be a tough one for Nebraska. So I got at Michigan State as the sixth toughest game on the schedule. Fifth toughest game on the schedule. Friday, October 6th, Champaign, Illinois. I got the roadie at Illinois for Nebraska as the fifth toughest game on the schedule. Full disclosure, I'm a believer in Brett Bielema. I thought he was really good at Wisconsin. He struggled at Arkansas. That can happen. He's come, and in just a couple of years at Illinois, he has done a hell of a job so far. Illinois went 8-5 last year. They lost a close bowl game to Mississippi State. Like I said a little bit ago, Illinois does lose their defensive coordinator to Purdue and Ryan Walters. That certainly hurts. Illinois had the number one scoring defense in the country. They do return seven starters on that side of the football, but they lost four starters in the secondary. And you want to know how good they were? I mean, Illinois lost the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the 47th pick in the NFL draft, and the 66th pick in the NFL draft. So Illinois had a top 10 pick on defense and three top 70 NFL draft picks on defense in total. That's pretty good. So while they do return some guys, they lost a good chunk of their dudes. And combining that with losing your defensive coordinator, that's a real thing to navigate. Illinois loses their starting quarterback, Tommy DeVito, as well, and extremely productive running back Chase Brown as well. So they got holes on both sides of the ball that they got to fill. But Brett Bielema has a good chunk in the trenches on both sides coming back, and that's how Brett Bielema is built. So I think this team will be tough again. I don't think this team is as good as last year's Illinois team by any stretch, but on the road, well-coached team, tough and big in the trenches, which is always a question for Nebraska until proven otherwise. I know Matt Rhule has sung the praises of Nebraska's O-line and all that stuff. Like, I need to see that before I believe it. I'm not sure what they got on the D-line. They got the 3-3-5, what that looks like. There's a lot of question marks in the trenches for Nebraska. And I think that's where Illinois is going to flex its muscles and make this game really, really challenging. But I got at Illinois as the fifth toughest game on the schedule for Nebraska. Fourth toughest game, Iowa. Black Friday, November 24th, 11 a.m., CBS. Iowa Hawkeyes, Nebraska Cornhuskers. I got it as the fourth toughest game on the schedule, which might surprise some people. I mean, maybe I'm disrespecting the Hawkeyes, which could be true. I just, you know, that offense was a train wreck last year, and the reality is Nebraska won at Iowa last season, and Nebraska should have beaten Iowa 2 years ago in Lincoln. So what's amazing is even in the midst of Nebraska's struggles, they beat Iowa last year and have played them tough. But I don't know. Even as I'm writing this, maybe I should have had Iowa higher and had them. I don't know. I'll stick with it. Like, we know what Iowa is. We know what they're going to do, what they're led by, defense and special teams. That ain't changing. Iowa's excellent in both those areas. They do have to replace some big-time players on defense, most notably Jack Campbell at the linebacker spot. The big question is Cade McNamara, the Michigan transfer, the answer at quarterback for Iowa? He hit the portal, committed to Iowa quick after the season. He is a winning quarterback who I'd say is good, not great. But we'll see what happens. If Iowa last year just gets halfway competent quarterbacking, Iowa for sure wins the Big Ten West, and then who even knows? Because that defense was legit. Their special teams was legit. But that offense was terrible. And in particular, the quarterbacking was terrible. And there's also the elephant in the room with the offensive coordinator in Brian Ferentz as well, who's hardly Bill Walsh. His offense routinely hasn't produced. But Iowa still wins. So this one is tough. Does just inserting Cade McNamara at quarterback solve all of the offensive issues? I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, they have to be better. But Nebraska's at home. Black Friday. Memorial Stadium's going to be rocking. You'd imagine Nebraska will be vastly improved from game number one to game number 12. There's going to be a lot of emotion. This game's going to be a war like it always is. You'd imagine Iowa's got a little, they want to send a message to the new guy in the Big Ten, Matt Rhule. You'd imagine there's a little bit of revenge and a bad taste in Iowa's mouth as Nebraska came to Iowa last year and, you know, Iowa was playing for something, playing for division title. Nebraska went and won. But I'll put Iowa as the fourth toughest game on the schedule. By the way, if you're curious, ESPN FPI gives Nebraska a 43% chance of beating Iowa. Third toughest game on the schedule, Saturday, November 18th, Camp Randall, Nebraska at Wisconsin. I got this as the third toughest game on the schedule. I'll be honest, though. Nothing would surprise me about this year for Wisconsin. Nothing. They could be really good and win 10 or 11 games. I could also see a scenario where they have significant growing pains with a complete shift in philosophy and have a shaky year and win 6 games. I truly don't know. There are some major 2004 Nebraska vibes with this Wisconsin situation, where Nebraska had a blueprint, Nebraska had an identity, right? The option, built through the lines, running the football. Like, they had a blueprint and identity, but ditched it for a new way of doing things with the West Coast offense and Bill Callahan, and scrapped the entire culture. And in some ways, Nebraska is yet to recover from that. Same thing here with Wisconsin. Wisconsin had a clear-cut identity and blueprint. Big offensive linemen, run the ball, great running backs, dominate the line of scrimmage, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's changing. They're bringing in a really good coach in Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, but they are completely shifting things on offense. They are going to go from a huddle up, under center, oftentimes two tight ends on the field, run it between the tackles, control the clock, to a no-huddle, up-tempo air raid attack. That's a massive shift. And the idea that you can just snap your fingers and change with no hiccups, that dramatic of a philosophical shift, seems a little tough to do. But who knows? In the world of the transfer portal, you can change personnel quicker now than you could in 2004. But you guys saw that team. I mean, Nebraska went from an option football team to trying to be a West Coast offense, and it looked like you thought it would look. Terrible. So there's just a lot of unknowns with Wisconsin to me. They do have Braylon Allen, who's a stud at running back, so maybe if they hit some rough patches, I suppose you can just hand it to him. Defensively, they lose their stud defensive coordinator, Jim Leonard, so it's going to be a change on that side of the ball too. They do return 8 starters on defense, so that helps, but I just don't know. I am fascinated to see how that plays out. There's just major 2004 Nebraska vibes with Wisconsin right now. And you think about the matchup last year in episode 873 of this narrative, Nebraska could have and should have easily beaten Wisconsin last year. Nebraska lost 15-14. Another, as the clock struck zero, you stood up and walked down to Amarillo Stadium and go, how the hell did Nebraska lose that game? Then, in all reality, Nebraska could have beaten Wisconsin in Madison 2 years ago. Remember they had the ball driving in the red zone late with Martinez and company? So, like I said with Iowa, even in the midst of Nebraska's struggles, they've been right there with Wisconsin the last 2 years. Still, any way you slice it, Wisconsin's talented. They're good on defense. They got Braylon Allen. Luke Fickell is a good coach. Late November, Camp Randall, playing Wisconsin. That's still a tough, tough, tough game. I got at Wisconsin as the third toughest game on the schedule. Okay, this is where there might be some disagreement on, because I'm sure right now you're going, where has he got Minnesota? Where's it? Yeah, I got Minnesota as the second toughest game in the schedule. Thursday, August 31st, in Minneapolis, first game of the year at Minnesota. I think that's the toughest game on the schedule. And I can see the eye rolls from people listening to this, and I get it. Nick, really? Minnesota? Tougher than at Wisconsin? Tougher than Iowa? Really? Here are my thoughts. It's the very first game of the Matt Rhule era. Game number one. Game number one is tough. Even it's tough and stressful, even if you're playing a crappy team. Game number one is tough. Even if you have an established coach and system, there could always be some hiccups and struggles in that first game, right? A little sloppy. Punt team, guess you got to burn a timeout. There, guys aren't out there. Like, you can have things like that. So with a brand new head coach and a brand new offensive coordinator and a brand new offensive system and a brand new unique defensive system and a brand new defensive coordinator and a brand new quarterback, that's a lot of brand new. And to have to take all of that new on the road for the first game and take on a huge offensive line with a head coach who I think is really good in PJ Fleck, that's a difficult combination to deal with and one that I think is a daunting task in a lot of ways. Now, don't get me wrong. Minnesota isn't a juggernaut. They lost their all-time leading rusher in stud Mo Ibrahim. I think their quarterback situation is just okay. They only return 10 total starters. But PJ Fleck, in my opinion, has things established. He's got things in place. This is year 7 for Fleck at Minnesota. He's won a pretty good amount. They went 9-4 last year and beat Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl. And if you exclude the COVID season, which was a weird one for everyone, especially for Minnesota because how hard they got hit by COVID, PJ Fleck's record is pretty good. In 2019, Minnesota went 11-2. 2021, 9-4. 2022, 9-4. So I think he's got it going a little bit. And I just think Matt Rhule's very first game at Minnesota, taking on Fleck, dealing with those big guys in the offensive line for Minnesota, that's a tough game in my opinion. So to me, it's more about the circumstances than anything else. First game for Rhule, Big Ten opponent, on the road, against a good coach who's got his culture in place. That's challenging. That is challenging. Now, maybe the flip side of it is Nebraska's got a little bit of the element of surprise going for them as well, right? Minnesota's probably looking at Marcus Satterfield and trying to figure out what he's going to do. They're examining things on what Matt Rhule's tendencies are and all this stuff. Like they got that going for them. But still, I think there's just a lot with this game. First game, August 31st, Thursday, big stage on Fox. It's a tough game, man. So I got Nebraska at Minnesota. First game of the year. I think it's the second toughest game on the schedule. Probably going to be some disagreement with that, but that's where I see it. And then the toughest game on the schedule, Saturday, September 30th, Lincoln, Nebraska. Michigan comes to Memorial Stadium. I mean, easy choice with this one. Toughest game on the schedule. It's hard to get anyone to agree on anything anymore. And I think if you polled the entire Nebraska fan base and simply asked them, hey, what's the toughest game on the schedule? I think it'd be 100% voting for Michigan. So this was an easy choice. Reigning Big Ten champs, 13-1 last year. Jim Harbaugh shut a lot of people up, beat Ohio State 45-23 in Columbus. Michigan returns 13 starters. They're going to be a preseason top five team in the country heading into the season. This is a legit, real national title contender. J.J. McCarthy's back at quarterback. Their stud running back, Blake Corum, is back. They return a ton of its top defensive players on a unit that was seventh best scoring defense in the country. So this one's easy to size up. It's going to be tough. Best coach Nebraska will see next year, Michigan. Best roster Nebraska will see next year, Michigan. Toughest game on Nebraska's schedule next year, Michigan. It's going to be a monster. But I'd imagine Memorial Stadium is going to be rocking, much like it was 2 years ago when Michigan was inside Memorial Stadium. Matt Rhule will have those boys ready to rock, but it's going to be a tall task. Easy choice here. I got Michigan at home as the toughest game on the schedule. So there you go. Nebraska's schedule ranked from easiest to hardest. In review, I'll start. We'll do it in the order I just gave it to. Reverse order, I guess. Starting with the hardest. Hardest game, I got Michigan at home. Second hardest game, at Minnesota, then at Wisconsin, Iowa at home, at Illinois, at Michigan State, Maryland, Purdue, Northwestern, all at home, at Colorado, and then Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech. I'll say this, couple of takeaways as I did this exercise. The Big Ten West is kind of interesting this year. It's kind of interesting. Minnesota is good, but has some holes, especially at running back, losing their star, Mo Ibrahim. Iowa, who knows what that offense will look like. Illinois loses a ton of their top talent on defense and their defensive coordinator. Wisconsin is completely shifting styles offensively from playing under center, running the football, to running an air raid up-tempo offense. Purdue has a new coach who's never been a head coach before. Northwestern's been a disaster for the last 2 years. And then there is Nebraska. So I certainly don't think Nebraska is going to win the Big Ten West. But man, I kind of think the West is pretty open. Tons of change, tons of unknown. It's the division of change this year. And maybe in the midst of all that change, maybe Nebraska can steal some games and make some noise. I mean, listen, Nebraska's got a laundry list of questions they need to answer. But I guess what I'm saying is, it's not like the Big Ten West is totally rock solid, stable, with a ton of known commodities on paper heading in. So there's that. And I'll also say, as I do this every year, man, like I think Nebraska, I've been guilty of this. But I think Nebraska getting to six wins seems really doable, right? Like, the path to getting to six seems like, you got two non-Power 5 teams at home in Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech. You assume that's two wins. You've got a really down Colorado team. That's a very winnable road Power 5 game. You get Northwestern, Purdue, Iowa, and Maryland all at home. Very manageable opponents there. And your crossover games are Michigan State, Michigan, and Maryland, two of which are at home. So you kind of look at all that, and it's, I don't know, it's not too crazy of mental gymnastics and Kool-Aid chugging to find six wins. But I felt that way for a couple years, man, and Nebraska's found their way to not have six wins when the season wraps up. And who knows what Rhule in year one will look like? Who knows? Like, I'll be honest, I don't love this Nebraska roster, to be real candid. It's weird. Like, I feel really good about Rhule as the head coach. He's been extremely impressive so far. And I feel really good about him being the head coach and leading the program moving forward. But that excitement and optimism and confidence in Rhule hasn't fully spilled over into chugging Kool-Aid on this team next season. Does that make sense? Like, I feel great. Like, if someone's like, you feel good about Rhule? I'm like, yeah, I do. So you think they're going to be good this year? I'm like, I don't know. I think it may be 6-6, maybe. Like, I just need to see it before I buy into the trenches on both sides of the ball with the offensive and defensive line. I got to see it with Jeff Sims at quarterback before I totally buy into it. I'm a little concerned about the explosive playmakers on the perimeter. So it's not like I'm trying to do that thing where I just poke holes at the entire Big Ten West division and not acknowledge all the questions and holes with Nebraska. I see the holes. I see Nebraska's issues. But all I'm saying is I see some question marks with the other, you know, six Big Ten West teams too. So it just makes for an interesting season for Matt Rhule in year number one. So there you go. In the words of my man Jay-Z, this is food for thought. You do the dishes.
A Herd at Sports Network production.